We are called to reconciliation. Pass from misery to God's mercy. We are all sinners in need of a Saviour. Will we find him? In a few weeks' time, we'll be at Calvary, Good Friday. The act of redemption. Divinity saves humanity. And on Golgotha, there were three crosses, a Saviour between two sinners. The sinners represent us all. What type of sinners were they? Thieves. Not murderers or arsonists. Thieves. Because we all steal from God. We take from him. In place or thing. One seeks forgiveness from the cross, one does not. Both are in pain, both are awaiting death, but one opens his heart, receives mercy, the other rebukes God and does not. One another does not. Lies within. Choice. We have choices in life, and ultimately, when death comes, God will give us what we want, what we have chosen, or in some cases, not chosen. And we are all needing to choose mercy. In Luke's Gospel, a most profound Gospel, chapter 15 is filled with three parables, stories of mercy. About things being lost or persons and then being found. The lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost sons. A sheep is lost because it's hurt or injured. Something's happened to it. The shepherd finds it, brings it home. The coin is lost not because it can lose itself, but because of somebody else's fault, negligence. Found and restored. The sons, not son, but sons are lost. The parable of the prodigal son. Prodigal means prodigality or wastefulness, who goes and squanders his father's inheritance. The younger son, the rebellious one, we can all sympathize with his exploits. But note too, there were two sons. The older son ostensibly remains at home, but he too is a sinner in need of a Saviour. In providing us with a beautiful document on reconciliation, draws certain nuances or insights about this older son for us to ponder. And I think the context ought to be seen between public and private. You see, we all sin, but sometimes our sins are known, sometimes they're not. Bear in mind, there are two commandments concerning the heart and internal or private sins. So I wonder, perhaps our Lord is giving us an example here. Don't just think that the sins you see are all the sins that there are. There are other sins that are equally as harmful, if not worse. And they're manifested in the older son, the dutiful one, the loyal one, the faithful one, who isn't reconciled with the Father, who is God. Let's go back to the younger son. Notice it, he doesn't repent or want mercy until he meets misery, until he's basically lost all his money and he has to live with pigs, and Jews don't eat pork, and he can't even eat their food. And the Bible just says he came to his senses. He hit rock bottom. In other words, he had no choice. Despair or pick myself up. And God's grace lifted him. Contrition entered his heart, and he returns to the Father. He's restored and given these three symbols of forgiveness and mercy. The cloak, symbolic of sanctifying grace within his soul. The ring is now part of the family estate. Inheritance belongs to him. He's been enriched again. And sandals. He's no longer a servant or slave. He's a member of the household. My son. He's welcomed. The feast begins and the older son comes in. Note, he doesn't come in. He approaches from a distance. From a distance, this all happens. He won't enter the domain of the father. Something's happening here. There's three points we need to bear in mind. And they're subtle, but they're there. The first is that we're not told by the father that the older son has been hardworking, dutiful, loyal. The older son tells us that, but the father doesn't. Note the father, in welcoming the younger son, approaches the younger son. He's out looking for him, praying for him, in search of him. It's the father who runs to the younger rebellious son and welcomes him back. The son's not interested. He's not there. He's not tuned in to the father's will. He doesn't care because he has his own agenda. This is the subtle point here. The father runs to the son to receive him, to welcome him. God is more willing to forgive us than we are willing to forgive ourselves. God never turns on us. We turn on him. But if we just show a sense of remorse, he will come to us and welcome us. So the older brother isn't interested in these sentiments of mercy, forgiveness. He's been doing his thing at a distance from the father. Still there, but in the background, not tuned into the father's will. That's why we're told he's off out in the fields. We're not told he's working hard or being diligent or making money. He's just aloof from the father. That's the first point. Second point is he never refers to his father as father. He says you in reference to the father. His heart is estranged already from the father, because he hasn't been doing the father's will. Furthermore, he doesn't even refer to his brother as brother. He says, this son of yours. A strange language, isn't it? It's a broken family language. You know, this brother of yours, this sister of yours. Now, hold on, is your brother too? No, he's not. A division has been caused, a break in the family bond. He's been off doing his thing in private. He has already separated his heart from the father. Third point is that the father goes out to talk to the son. As he went out to greet his younger son, he goes out now to the older son. Notice the older son doesn't come into the house. It's the father who goes out of the house. The father goes in search of the older son. And then they have this fight. And it's the blame game. Hey, why do you welcome him back? He's just squandered your money with he and his women. Hello, there's been no mention of loose women up to this point. Very subtle. I think it's a betrayal of guilt. Hidden sins manifest themselves. The thief accuses others of stealing. Maybe the older son has had loose women with his friends, who aren't the father's friends. And he accuses the father, they've never let us, me and my friends, not our friends, have a party. Maybe it's because of the type of friends you have that you've never asked. And the women, it's an indication of where he's been. It's a guilt trip manifesting blame, accusations, not remorse or forgiveness. And he won't come in. The father pleads with him, begs him, but he won't come in. Like a thief on Calvary, he won't open his heart. He won't allow grace or mercy to enter. He will not receive forgiveness. And in choosing not to forgive, he does not encounter the mercy of another. He is in need of a Saviour, but his heart is closed, the door is shut, and we're never told that he ever finds forgiveness or salvation.